Welcome to today's EN Essentials training session entitled Optimizing Ticket Holder Intake. My name is Derek Shields, and I'm the Senior EN Development and Training Manager for the Ticket Program Manager, and I will be serving as today's moderator. We're excited to start this new series, the EN Essentials Training Series, and today we'll be focused, of course, on intake. The session is scheduled for 60 minutes, with approximately 45 minutes of training content followed by a 15-minute Q&A session. Now to the next slide, please. Our agenda today is on the screen. We'll start with some welcome and logistics and housekeeping. I'll introduce the training team. I'll go through an overview of the new EN guide for working with ticket holders and update you on some EN Essential training dates that are in the near future. And then we'll get into the core content with the intake process with Brittany Boyd. After that, we'll also hear from a couple ENs who are guests today, and we'll have a Q&A session where the entire training team will be available to help answer your questions. Meanwhile, we do have an open chat, and I'll cover that during our housekeeping and logistics. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, on this slide, we cover logistics. Do feel free to ask questions in the MS Teams chat section. We will be holding those until that open period. So there's no need to put it in there. If you're going to wait for the open period, we'll take those questions towards the end so we can take track of those. Now, if you do have some comments that you'd like to add to the training content, we welcome that as well. Today, if you're joining by phone and you wish to ask a question, you must raise your hand using *5 on your phone and you will be unmuted. And then you need to use *6 to speak. It's a two-step process for phone, *5 and then *6. If joining via MS Teams and you wish to ask a question aloud, you can use the raise your hand feature. We'll then call on you, and when called upon, you can unmute your mic. We do ask you to limit your questions to one per participant so we could cover as many as possible. If you have other questions or comments, we do encourage you to send email to us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Now, we are recording this event, and there is a transcript being taken. Importantly, we also are offering closed captioning. This is available for participants who are joining via the MS Teams application or by using the closed captions link that's been provided in the Gov delivery email that was sent and has been posted by Glennis in the chat. To turn on closed captioning through MS Teams, you can go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams window and turn on more actions, and then go down the list to select turn on live captions. When using the link option, we ask you to paste the link in your internet browser and it will open a separate window to view those closed captions. Okay, with that, we thank you for joining us today, and we want to move on with the EN Essentials training. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, we have an outstanding team gathered to engage with you today, and the presenters on the training team, along with some other team members, are listed on this screen. I'd now like to introduce them. Brittany Boyd is a training and activation analyst on the Ticket Program Manager team. She'll be providing the intake process content. Glennis Moore is also a training and activation analyst on our team, and she'll be active posting resources for you in the chat. We're also pleased to be joined by Mary Kay Murphy. Mary Kay is on our program integrity team as a senior quality manager, and we'll focus on some practices from her services and supports role. Mary Kay is joined as well by Tiffany Beamham, who will be joining us in the Q&A session. Tiffany is on the Ticket Program Manager team as a Senior Quality Analyst. We're also pleased to be joined by Tammy Lidicote. Tammy is our TPM Partner Relations Manager. And as I mentioned, we have two Employment Network guests, Nancy Gagnon, a Career Center Manager from Mass Hire Lowell Career Center, Workforce System Entity. And we're also joined by Pamela Walker, the CEO of Alliance Professional Services, LLC. We're pleased also to, of course, have Natalie Sendeldorfer with us. Natalie is an a lead EN analyst in the Office of Employment Support for the Social Security Administration, and will be with us during the Q&A session as well. So that's our training team. We're so pleased to have everyone available and participating. And with that, please, next slide. As many of you are likely aware, SSA and TPM were pleased to recently develop and release a new resource entitled the EN Guide for Working with Ticket Holders. The guide is designed to assist ENs in developing relationships with ticket holders and supporting them through their journey to financial self-sufficiency. The new guide provides some specific tips and details, and these four bullets on the slide cover the critical sections of this content: conducting a thorough intake discussion with the ticket holder, creating and updating a detailed individual work plan, assigning and unassigning tickets, and preparing for IWP and services and supports reviews. So I'd like to acknowledge the many ENs that helped TPM gather the ideas and contents along with the leads on the project. Our two training and activation analysts that are with us today, Brittany Boyd and Glynis Moore, and our colleagues from services and supports who I also introduced, Mary Kay Murphy and Tiffany Beamham, all of whom contributed to the development. To find the new resource, there's a link on this slide that goes to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, our service provider site. Glynis has posted in chat that link to access. It is located under the Tools for Success header, and a link to the EN guide is a way for you to explore all of the content that's available. Let's move to the next slide, please. So, of course, this is our first session in the EN Essentials series, July 12th, Optimizing Ticket Holder Intake. We've sent out some Gov delivery messages about some other upcoming events to cover the rest of the content that's in this EN guide. On August 23rd, we have Developing and Maintaining Successful Individual Work Plans, Part 1. In this session, we'll focus on how to complete an IWP using ticket holder intake information to create goals and identify the services and supports the ticket holder needs. The session will also cover ticket assignment and amending the IWP as the ticket holder moves toward their employment goals. Then next, on September 20th, from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll do part two. Part two will cover ticket assignment and additional compliance metrics for IWP completion, including the discussion summary and required signatures. The session will also stress the importance of ongoing communication and required documentation of the services and supports the EN provides. So we ask you to mark your calendars for August 23rd and September 20th for the second and third part in the three-part EN Essentials training series. And with that, let's move to the next slide, please. When we think of the intake process, I like to think about the importance of the requirements themselves so we can start to think with the end in mind, really connecting the intake with the IWP. Specifically, an EN must document that a one-on-one individualized discussion with the ticket holder has occurred that focused on career planning, development of goals, and the services and supports the EN will provide to the ticket holder. And we have a checklist of items here that the documentation needs to include. And when thinking of these, some of them are pretty straightforward, right? The discussion date, the modality, whether it's face-to-face or telephone, the location and duration, the name and the position of the EN interviewer, and recognizing that the EN interviewer must have suitability. And then we have the summary. This 3 to 5 sentences describing the highlights of the intake discussion. And when thinking of the summary that documents the individual discussion that's required and focusing on these three areas, we really need to frame, like, how are we advancing towards those goals and hopefully towards achievement of those goals? And this is when we hear from ENs wanting more guidance. You know, more examples, more development assistance, and in some cases, where do we put this critical summary so it's recognized? So to address this and really begin our training session today, to look at some best practices and examples from this, we've asked Mary Kay Murphy to come on, provide some comments and some examples. So Mary Kay, if you could turn on your camera and join us, I'll turn this over to you, please.
Let's make sure. Oops. Hello, everybody. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the discussion summary. You're going to hear a lot of information from Brittany and Nancy and Pam today about what it makes a good intake. And what you're going to do with the discussion summary is really just providing a little summary of those your intake. So you're going to have, while it's real time for you, you're going to already, it's going to be fresh in your mind. So we suggest that you create that discussion summary immediately following your intake with the ticket holder. You should, by the time you completed that intake, you should be able to have a good idea what the goals of this ticket holder is going to be, and that they're a good fit for you, and that you are able to provide the services and supports, and have an idea of what services and supports the EN or that your EN would need to help this ticket holder meet their goals. So because in the other part to this is that you guys talk to a lot of ticket holders, you provide support to many ticket holders. So you want to create that discussion summary while it's still fresh in your mind. What you'll be doing with the discussion summary is that's going to be your starting point when creating a quality IWP. And as Derek had said, we're looking for 3 to 5 sentences that include the following key points. The first being kind of your assessment that the ticket holder goals are reasonable and attainable, and then how your services and supports will assist this ticket holder to achieve those particular goals. So in the slide that's appearing, the first example is simply, it's, I believe both of the examples are 4 sentences. The first one is, I met with Victor and reviewed labor market information specific to the paralegal field. Victor is eager to pursue a career as a paralegal, is currently enrolled in Texas A&M University, and has 15 credits left to obtain his degree. Victor would like to secure an administrative position at the law firm while he completes his education. ABC Works will assist with Victor's pursuit of employment, his degree, and any additional certification to further his career advancement and his and retention. So the first part of this example lets you know what the goals are, and basically the ticket holder does have this is an attainable goal. They're already working towards this particular goal, so it is attainable. And then the second part is, what are the services that you can help and how they're going to further his career? Can we move to the next slide? So in this example, during our discussion, Carla expressed her motivation and interest in becoming financially independent and shows determination towards reaching her goals. Carla is currently working part-time at Walmart, and her prior work history in management supports her goal of becoming a manager at Walmart. Carla needs reliable transportation to work full-time. ABC Works will help Carla obtain transportation so she can maintain her position at Walmart, and will locate additional managerial trainings so that Carla is fully prepared when a management position becomes available. So again, at the very beginning, we did talk about what the ticket holder's goals are, and they are attainable based on, in this case, it's prior work history. And then the second part is the services that the EN will provide and how those are going to help that ticket holder to become successful. This is not the place, the discussion summary is not the place for you to describe the goals in detail, create measurable goals, et cetera. And it's also not the place that you need to list every service that you're going to provide to the ticket holder. This is just a summary based on your assessment that the ticket holder goals are reasonable and attainable, and that how your services or support will assist the ticket holder to achieve those goals. Thank you, Derek.
Mary Kay, thanks a lot. I think it's really helpful to have a couple examples so we think with the end in mind. I do want to recognize that we've had some questions and comments in chat. I've written them down, so when we open up the Q&A, we'll bring them back. But just to kind of summarize, if there needs to be a summary, why is it in a field in the IWP? And where does the discussion summary go? A couple similar related questions. So we will bring those back when we open up the Q&A to ensure we recognize that those have been asked. With that, let's move to the next slide, please. So at this point, let's dive into the four segments of the training. Brittany Boyd will now join us to begin this section looking at the purpose, the key questions, the barriers, and the elements of a great intake section. So I'm pleased now to turn the training over today to Brittany.
Thank you, Derek, and good afternoon, everyone. I see some familiar faces. I'm so happy you guys wanted to come back and listen to me train again on intake. As previously stated, the purpose of today, we are talking about ticket holder intake. The purpose of the intake is, number one, for you to determine if the ticket holder is eligible for the Ticket to Work program. Although everyone ages 18 to 64 who's currently receiving an SSI or SSDI benefit is eligible for the program may not be the right fit for every ticket holder, such as those who want to work part-time indefinitely. But if you encounter a ticket holder that is committed and willing to try to become employed and work towards financial self-sufficiency, the EN can work closely with them to provide the services and the supports to help them do so. Once an EN completes their training and they gain access to the ticket portal, you'll be able to go in and assess the status of the ticket holder's ticket, whether it's in use or not in use or terminated. Excuse me. It is imperative that you have a conversation with the ticket holder that clearly relates the goals of the ticket program in advance of you completing the individual work plan. During your intake conversation, your EN and the ticket holder should discuss joint expectations and jointly decide if this will be a good working relationship. This process helps you to ensure that your organization can provide the necessary services, resources, and ongoing support for their success. A thorough intake discussion, as Derek mentioned, contributes to the next important step of creating a detailed individual work plan that has clear and measurable goals. One resource that is very helpful during your intake conversation is informing the beneficiaries of the goals of the Ticket to Work program, which is linked on this slide and Glennis is going to post in the chat. This resource will assist you in clearly conveying the purpose and the expectations to the ticket holder. Next slide, please. There are some key questions that you should also consider during your conversation. The first question, has the ticket holder considered their employment goals? You want to ensure they've already thought about going back to work and what that will look like for them. Question two, does the ticket holder want to become financially self-sufficient? We all know that the goal of the Ticket to Work program is for that ticket holder to become financially self-sufficient. However, some ticket holders have no desire. So you want to ensure that is a goal for them and also that they want to provide for themselves. This barrier sometimes occurs due to a fear or a misconception about benefits, which is why it is also important to consider connecting that ticket holder with a benefits counselor. Third question to consider, what is the skill and education level of the ticket holder? Knowing the skill and education level will help you to identify any additional skills, training, or formal education the ticket holder may need to help them on their path to self-sufficiency. This will also help you to determine their earning potential. Our fourth question, does the ticket holder have any previous work and earnings history? Knowing the ticket holder's work and earnings history will help you to better understand what experience the ticket holder has as it relates to their employment goals. This could also give you an idea of how many hours the ticket holder anticipates working. Question five, is the ticket holder likely to make it to trial work level, TWL, and then to substantial gainful activity, or SGA, level earnings? If you know their previous work history, this can help you to determine if they are likely to reach trial work level or SGA level earnings. Work experience will impact the kinds of services that the ticket holder requires to gain their financial independence. Furthermore, if you believe there is a very low probability that the ticket holder can reach the SGA level of earnings, then their goals may not align with the ticket program. Finally, do your services match the ticket holder's needs? Ensuring that you clearly understand the needs and expectations of the ticket holder will help you to determine if you have the appropriate resources and services to assist that ticket holder on their journey to self-sufficiency. Next slide, please. Through your discussion of your key questions, barriers may be brought up. It is important for you to identify and address any limitations or barriers that the ticket holder may have, as well as concentrating on their strengths and their competencies. Some barriers that you could encounter are their fear of the loss of disability or their healthcare benefits if they were to go to work, transportation issues, childcare issues, or simply their own fear of self-sufficiency. Your EN should have some facts, any common fears or misconceptions about losing healthcare and disability benefits. We've linked the resource debunking the three biggest myths about disability benefits and work as a great resource. You can use this when discussing ticket holder barriers or misconceptions. It is encouraged that your EN share either this fact sheet or have some other type of informational packet that addresses the barriers. Understanding these barriers will help your EN to understand the services they will need to provide to ensure the ticket holder's success. Now, enough from me for now. Let's hear directly from some of our EM partners and how they conduct their intake and identify barriers. I am pleased to welcome Nancy Gagnon from the Career Center Manager at the Mass Hire Lowell Career Center, a workforce agency located in Massachusetts. Nancy, can you tell us a little bit about how your intake process is and how you identify barriers to success? Over to you.
Absolutely. Nancy. Thank you. I believe, first of all, it's important to build a relationship, a professional relationship with all ticket holders. You have to build a relationship of respect and trust. During the intake process, small talk, small conversation goes a long way to doing that. For an example, you might ask about their living condition, if they have any pets. And you can jot that information down. The next time you're talking to them, you can go back to that and review as, how is your son doing? I heard last time you told me he was struggling in math, or some type of conversation that allows them to relate to you. I want them to make sure that they understand that this is a safe environment, that everything they say is confidential, that our records are confidential, that everything's locked up and not anyone can see these information. We cover the expectations to make sure it's clear for both parties. Everyone understands the outcome expectations are for the ticket holder to become self-sufficient and obtain full-time employment. We discuss barriers to employment and how they work with how we work with multiple agencies, where we can blend and braid these services to help with some of the barriers. Some of the items that we're able to blend and braid here is clothing, daycare, training, transportation, and so much more. We have a lot of WIOA partners throughout our Mass Hire system. During the intake process, we discuss labor market and what skills the recipients has that are transferable. We verify these skills if they prefer to use an assessment, which we use is e-skills, that help us determine their occupational skill levels. If a person has not too much of an idea of what kind of career path best suits them, we'll use a MBTI, which is a Myers-Briggs type indicator. This is a personality test to help us understand their personality traits, strengths, and weaknesses. It's important to show that you care and want the best possible outcome, and we can help with the process we have and assessment tools. We use all this information to build a realistic IWP. We make sure they understand the IWP building can take more than one meeting. We develop this as a team, and it is a fluid document we can go back to and revise at a later time. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, for sharing with us today. We look forward to hearing from you later in our conversation. Next, I'd like to introduce my personal Pamela Walker, CEO of the Alliance Professional Services, a national EN located in Tennessee.
It's great to see you online. Thank you, Brittany. And Brittany and Nancy both made great points. I'm going to talk about a few different things that we do, but identifying barriers to success is a very, very important part of the initial intake process. By developing trust during that initial intake, the ticket holder will feel more comfortable providing very personal information that they might not otherwise provide to you. Make the ticket holder feel comfortable by setting aside some dedicated time, uninterrupted time, for the initial visit and the intake. This is also a great opportunity to discuss joint expectations, such as services to be provided and required timely contacts, so that they understand what they're getting into before they sign up. You want to provide all that information. It's also a perfect time to be proactive by sharing the purpose, the benefits, protections, and basic work incentives of the program during that conversation. This will answer a lot of the questions that the ticket holder may have, especially for those who are new to the program, not real familiar with it. They may have questions, but they're not sure how to ask those questions. And so being proactive in answering some of the questions that we know all ticket holders have on the front end will help them decide if they want to participate in the program, and will also help you decide if, based on their the services that they need and whether or not they're going to be proactive in the program, will help you decide whether or not it's a ticket that you feel comfortable assigning. There's online basic training for some of these topics periodically, especially on the work incentives. So if you haven't taken that basic work incentive training, it's very, very helpful during that initial conversation. And once they get those answers, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable as well. So you also need to have discussions related to medical limitations, because you have to know what kind of work they're going to be able to do based on what they've done in the past and what they can't do now or what they can do now. So there are always barriers, and you want to find those out on the front end. So the medical limitations are a must, but you also want to address concerns or issues related to prior employment, such as large gaps in work history, personal issues that may come into play, criminal records or financial hardships are also important. And sometimes that's a difficult topic to start, but you need to do it. And sometimes you can do that just by asking, you know, is there anything else that I need to know when we're trying to find employment for you? Is there anything that could impact the type of job you do or the types of job that you want to go after? So resolution of the employment barriers when possible should be considered and included in the IWP. Just as throwing out an example there, if someone had previously had trouble getting to work on time due to medication that made them oversleep, so they're constantly being late for work and they lost that job. So a simple idea that you could discuss with the ticket holder about that is, what about looking for employment that starts in the afternoon instead of the morning? Look at different ways that you can hurdle whatever that barrier is. Also, some ticket holders may be a little hesitant to provide information about a criminal background or the financial discussions that I mentioned earlier. And the way I handle it, again, is just by asking, hey, is there anything else I need to know? And that kind of opens up that conversation. Also, discussing likes and dislikes is very helpful in developing the IWP and goals. What does the ticket holder enjoy doing? Do they have any hobbies? Which of their prior jobs did they enjoy the most? Was it because they liked the task of the job, or was it because they liked the people they worked with, or it was they just liked the environment? So talk to them about those things, because when you're looking for employment, you don't want to look for the same employment where issues were without resolving those issues. So take all of that into consideration. And just on a side note, we found that ticket holders who have jobs that they enjoy or who work in an environment that they like tend to remain employed for a longer term, which is very important. So with all the information that you gather, the ticket holder will be prepared to work with you to jointly develop that initial, reasonable, achievable short-term and long-term goals and the timelines needed to complete those goals. So with that, I will turn it back over to Brittany, I believe.
Yes, thank you so much, Pam, for your insight and choosing to speak with us today. We really appreciate both you and Nancy for joining us and your willingness to share your experiences with everyone. We look forward to hearing from you as well later during our questions and answers. Next slide, please. Now that we have discussed the purpose of the intake, some key questions to consider, some ways to identify barriers, we'll now discuss some elements that make up a great ticket holder intake. Building a relationship with the ticket holder, listening, managing the dialogue, treating the interview as a conversation, and looking for the best fit. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into these elements. Next slide, please. As both Pam and Nancy have stressed, and I also saw someone in the chat stress, building a relationship and trust is really important and key during this intake discussion. Ideally, this ticket holder would be assigned to you for the next 3 to 5 years. So you want to make sure you're definitely encouraging trust and building rapport. It's encouraged that you start to build your rapport a little bit before diving into your personal conversations about criminal background and disability. Pam mentioned that the ticket holder needs to feel comfortable. It's important for that. One way to bring on that feeling of comfort is to, you know, start with your small talk. How are you today? Did you have trouble finding the place? Tell me what you know about the Ticket to Work program. Then you can dive into those topics that they discussed about their hobbies and interests and previous jobs. You want to build trust and engagement with that ticket holder early on with the goal to build a long-term back and forth relationship so that your EN is not trying to track down that ticket holder every month to follow up. Next slide, please. You want to let the ticket holder do most of the talking during the conversation. This would allow you to get a better understand of those barriers, expectations, concerns, and goals that Nancy and Pam described. A lot of what they discussed can be achieved by using your active listening skills. This is a skill that involves showing interest, concern, and empathy. Some techniques include paraphrasing. So what I'm hearing you saying is, or let me make sure I understand you correctly. Also, providing brief verbal affirmations and validating their feelings, such as, I can see why you would feel that way, or that sounds like a tough decision or situation. Also, practicing good eye contact if you're conducting an in-person intake conversation, or listening for pauses and voice inflection for virtual intakes. Finally, you should always summarize. So let's recap what we discussed today. This will help you to identify any key points and make sure you clearly understand what the ticket holder is expecting and what their goals are. Using your listening, your active listening skills closely relates to how you manage their dialogue. Next slide, please. Managing the dialogue by using a combination of open-ended and closed-ended questions ensure you have your information to make your informed decision. Yes and no questions are best used when clarifying or discussing their disability status or criminal background. Open-ended questions are best when you're probing for more information, such as their necessary accommodations or how their disability may affect the type of work they choose. It's also good to avoid using TWL or trial work level and substantial gainful activity, or SGA jargon. Although we use it on a daily basis, most ticket holders are not as familiar with it. So during your conversation, try using dollar figures when discussing their earning potential. Next slide, please. As you complete multiple intakes, you will naturally find your flow. Pam mentioned using some open-ended questions. A good one that I think is a great question as well is, tell me about yourself. You can use questions such as these to build on follow-up questions and dive a little bit deeper into their background, goals, and desires. Next slide, please. Now that you've started to build your relationship, you've listened to your ticket holders' concerns and goals, and you've discussed your joint expectations. Yet at the end of your conversation, you should now have a thorough understanding of the ticket holders' service needs and have made a determination together about whether this is a good fit. While I also believe that letting the ticket holder do a majority of the talking, you should also provide them with a little bit information about yourself. So tell them what services you're able to provide, maybe add a personal touch in if you have a common factor between you and the ticket holder, because they need to make an informed decision as well. If the ticket holder is not a good fit for your organization, provide a warm handoff directly to another EN or the VR agency if appropriate. If another EN is not known, please refer the ticket holder to both the Choose Work website and the Beneficiary Support Helpline that Glynis is posting in the chat. The referral process is a key step in ensuring that the ticket holder has all of the information necessary for them to make a connection with a new organization. Be sure to encourage and reassure the ticket holder by letting them know that they are still a great fit for the program and that they've made the right decision. This will give them a little hope. If possible, it is encouraged that your EM follows up with that ticket holder to ensure that they had some success in connecting with another service provider. Now I'll hand it back over to Derek to segue us into the connection between intake and IWP development. Thank you.
This is Derek again. Brittany, thank you so much for going through quite a bit of content, but a deeper version of that content that's in the EN guide for the intake process. Before looking at the transition in that segue, I wanted to just take a moment to reflect on some of the content and chat. We've had quite a bit of activity. Going back to the original questions that I mentioned before, we've had some, question or slides going to be available. Yes, there are Tammy to pull out in mind for our panelists to respond to. And then there was some discussion around, Myers-Briggs, and that, Nancy responded the Myers-Briggs type indicator test is she's using that, and then also mentioning that eSkills is a great tool for occupational competency. Glynis has posted about the VCU introduction to Social Security disability benefits, work incentives, and employment support program is a web course that's helpful. And then we've gotten into some more kind of deeper thinking around intake and the connection about who can qualify or not qualify. And we're going to hold those to the Q&A. I wanted to call out Brian's chat comment about Pam's last statement about workers returning to work environments that they like, that's covered by the Minnesota Theory of Work Adjustment, Dawes and Lofquist research from 1969, that worker satisfaction and satisfactoriness of the job is an indication of tenure. So thanks for that, Brian. Chat will continue, and I will repeat the dates of the next training sessions before we wrap up today. So to this slide, really the next step of connecting intake to IWP with ticket assignment and work as the objective. If both the ticket holder and EN mutually agree that they are a good fit, then the next step involves development of that IWP that will lead to ticket assignment to work, and of course, hopefully to this pathway of self-sufficiency. And with that in mind, we're not going to dive in today to the development of the IWP. That will be in the next sessions. But we do move to the next slide, and we're starting to see a little bit of this in the chat. On the next slide, we talk about reflections. So if we can go to the next slide, there we go. What would you like to change or add to your intake process? Now that you're starting to hear the content, we have the EN guide that pulls the requirements from the RFA with some examples. We've heard from a couple of ENs about their techniques, and we're starting to see in some chat some suggestions. If you have any reflections you'd like to share in chat, we would encourage you to do so as we transition now to the Q&A portion of our session. Next slide, please. So we are ready for Q&A, and I would ask that our training team turn on their cameras so we would be able to have them ready to take your questions. If you have questions focused on the IWP, we request those be emailed to enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and we'll address those through that channel, or come to the next two sessions in August and September. As a reminder, to ask a question over the phone, please raise your hand on Teams by dialing *5 and ask. And if you are called upon, you'll need to unmute it and then press *6 to do so. Two steps by telephone. For participants through Teams, please use the raise your hand feature and then identify yourself, your EN by name, and then ask your question. Again, we ask you to limit your questions to one per person so we could have several. At this point, I would like to ask Tammy Litico to come up. We've had some questions in chat, Tammy. Would you be able to pull one of those out and see if we could get the Q&A portion started with that?
Yes. Hi, Derek, and hi, everyone. As Derek mentioned earlier, we had several questions related to the summary and where it went, where it goes on the IWP. We had those earlier. So I'm just going to review a couple of those questions. And I think these are directed to Mary Kay. And if there needs to be a summary, why is it not a field on the IWP, or where is it on the IWP? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. To answer that particular question, it's absolutely correct. On the 1374 that ENs have the opportunity to use, there is not a text field built in there. We did send out a gov delivery message back in May of 2022, and we kind of continue to share that information when we speak with ENs individually. But you can on under the terms and conditions, which is part 3 of the 1370 form, under the 15th term and condition is other, and you can use that space to enter that discussion summary, or you can simply draft it on a separate sheet of paper or, you know, Word document, attach it to the IWP. And there was a question about whether or not it was required to have that attachment signed. And the answer is no, as long as it is attached to the signed IWP.
Great. Thank you, Mary Kay. This is Tammy again. I'll ask another question that we got in the chat. And I think this one is a good question for either Pam or Nancy. Will you discuss how to handle the discussion with a client who isn't an appropriate candidate for Ticket to Work, but insists on doing it?
I'll be glad to provide some feedback on that.
Okay. Thanks.
We do several things. First of all, if we feel they're not a good candidate at this time, that's what we tell them, but we never just turn someone away. We always provide an alternative, whether that is contacting vocational rehabilitation or brushing up on their skills using online options that we can provide to them. And because they've reached out to us, we're able to keep and maintain their contact information. So I usually tell them, check back with me in 90 days. I give them some what I call homework assignments, because I want to make sure that they're going to be proactive, being as they're so insistent that they want to participate in the program. I also spend a little more time talking about timely progress and what that means, because I don't want to assign someone that their goal is to stay on Social Security disability benefits forever. And so explaining that timely progress, especially as it relates to medical reviews, is real important. And sometimes if they realize that it doesn't mean that they're going to be permanently not eligible for medical reviews on the front end, will sometimes, you know, let you know that that's their intent, and discussing that timely progress takes care of that situation.
Great. Thanks, Pam. Derek, do we want to move to questions by over the phone yet?
Yeah, let's do that, Tammy. Thank you. Okay. Catherine, I think we have someone with a hand raised. If you could help get to those for us, please.
Absolutely, Derek. We have Bliss Hayes. You are unmuted. Please ask your question. You'll need to unmute, Bliss, and go ahead and ask your question, please.
Try now, Bliss.
Thank you. I did unmute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So what if the ticket holder initially aligns with the services provided by the employment network, but their ultimate goal is something that the employment network doesn't provide, like voice acting or running an online clothing boutique, which doesn't fall within the scope of the network services, but they're using the employment network as a stepping stone, would it be appropriate to assign this ticket holder?
Mary Kay, would you like to start us out there with a comment, and then maybe we go over to the ENDS reps for their perspective?
Yeah, I'm going to say that that's probably going to be a discussion, kind of an individual discussion with, you know, sometimes we need more information, like what really is going on with this particular ticket holder, what's the expectations. But so I would ask that this EN reach out. If you reach out to us individually, we can take that question back and do a little more research if you can provide us some details.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks. Either Nancy or Pam, do you have any thoughts on that when you encounter a similar situation?
I would definitely have to have them look into the labor market and look at it realistically. Can you be self-sufficient on that career path you're choosing? And we would go down on a discussion path that way.
More like a stepping stones type process. Mm-hmm. If we begin work here, the labor market might have other full-time opportunities.
Right. What is transferable? Where do you intend to be?
Thank you. Pam, any additional comments?
Yes, it would definitely take more information and more discussion, because it may be that is a, you know, 10-year plan. But right now they need money to start putting money aside to start that business. And so it depends on, you know, is that a 2-year plan or a 10-year plan? And what are the stepping stones to start aligning things? But, if they're starting their own business or something like that, we might want to go in and connect them with the Small Business Administration and things like that, so they know what's involved. Once they know what's involved and what the cost is, they may change their mind about, that long-term goal. So it just requires a lot of discussion.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate those additional thoughts. Catherine, it looks like we have another hand raise.
Yes, we did, Derek. We have Brandy. You are unmuted. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
Hi, my name is Brandy Mazeika. I work with AHEAD, and my question is actually going back to what Pam was saying earlier in regards to people who are looking more for part-time who may not be a good fit for Ticket to Work. You mentioned homework, like quote-unquote homework assignments that you might give them. Could you give some more examples about what those might be?
Certainly. It could be something as simple as asking them for a list of their prior work history. We can't prepare a resume if they don't have a resume. So that information is also needed if we decide to move forward. But if someone has that information back to me in a reasonable period of time, then we will reconsider and, you know, see if it's a good fit. But if I don't hear from them for 6 months, they're not serious about participating in the program. So that's just an example. If there is a job goal, we might give them some information and say, take a look at this and make sure that's really, you know, what you want to do. Look at the job tasks that are associated with it. Are those things that you're comfortable doing? And again, if they review the information that we send them in a reasonable period of time, that's one thing. But if they wait a very long time before responding, you know, then that's a sign they're not going to be proactive in the program generally.
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the question, Brandy, and appreciate your response, Pam.
Certainly.
Let's go back to Tammy. Tammy, there's been some more activity in chat. There was a question a couple times, will slides be made available? And the answer is yes. This is a pilot for doing the EN Essentials training. We do hope to release the recordings as well, but based on our activity, we'll be in touch with if that happens. But we'll definitely be releasing the slides. And we do look to modify the EN guide as we learn more and have a broader discussion. We look to grow the resources that are inside the guide itself. And lastly, I'll note somebody asked a question about the Ticket to Work training we are required to do. Will it be updated? And the answer is yes. Ticket Program Manager, TPM, is working closely with SSA on that update plan for the modules. As you might imagine, that's a large project, but we are working through that process, and we'll be working with SSA to provide updates when appropriate. Tammy, back to you. Any questions that you can pull out for our training team today?
Got a couple of things, and this may have been already addressed a little bit, but what if the ticket holder initially aligns with the services provided by the employment network, but their ultimate employment goals, such as voice acting, self-employment, or running an online clothing boutique, does not fall within the scope of the network's services? They are using the employment network as a stepping stone. Is this appropriate to assign this ticket holder? I guess I would defer to either Pam or Nancy again on that one.
I believe we may have covered that one.
Okay.
But again, you would have to know more information and determine, you know, when they wanted to achieve that goal, you know, okay, whether it was stepping stones and, you know, goals change too. We all know that. So
I was just going to say, yes, goals change, and that's another question for the, or probably a question more for the IWP training coming up. Another question that we had was, do you have an example of an intake questionnaire or information gathering tool that you use?
Yeah, there is an intake sample form on your website. I think if you look under resources or forms, and I'm sure we could get that for you and provide that.
Thanks, Tammy, and thanks, Mary Kay. I'm going to jump in here. There was a question. There are several questions in chat, and we're going to have to capture those and respond to them because we're going to run out of time. But we did receive a question about how do you use blended and braided funding? This came up a little bit earlier, but how do you use that to ensure all needed services identified during the intake discussion can be provided for a ticket holder? And that one connects with another question that I read in chat. Like, let's say somebody has a language barrier and they want to receive English as a second language training attached to employment pathways. Any thoughts? Nancy, first.
Yeah, that was a little bit tough because every EN service is going to have different connections out in the community and different relationships. So, for example, one of our community partners, Office Transportation, depending on you know, where the employer is and what their circumstances are financially. And not all areas have that access. We have access to a clothing or suitability is what they actually call it, where if we refer somebody over, they can give them some outfits to go to work. So unfortunately, not all ENs, depending on where they lie and where their offices are and their relationships, will be different for everybody on what kind of services. But most MRCs and their voc rehab will be able to offer some additional supports as well that would be for everyone, such as some transportation or job coaching that might be available in their areas.
Thank you, Nancy. We're going to take one last question, and then we're going to have to go to wrap up. So, Catherine, if you could go to the raised hand for a final quick question, please.
Absolutely, Derek. We have Jennifer who has a question. Jennifer, you are unmuted. If you'll just unmute and ask your question, please.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I just had a more technical question about, because I just did the training. I finished it back in 2022, and I know you're saying the discussion summary isn't mentioned right now in that training. So I guess I'm trying to understand, like, when we're going through IWP reviews, for example, what's the date at which the discussion summary was sort of implemented as a requirement? So we know, like, do we need to go back and update IWPs? You know, I'm just trying to understand, like, when that actually came into play to make sure that we're in compliance with our plans.
It's a great question. Mary Kay, go ahead, please.
Sure. So the discussion summary has been a part of the TPA requirement and in the RFA for quite a while. We sent out the email back in the Gov delivery message to clarify back in May of 2022 regarding the need for the discussion summary to be included and where the best place to enter that discussion summary as well.
So if we have, for example, since it's not included in the training and new providers may not have received that message, if we've done things like case notes, is that acceptable? Does the case note need to be reviewed and signed by the individual?
Yeah, so we would, at this point, again, I'm going to kind of table that if we can. Because it is going to depend on if it's a brand new EN, then maybe they did not, I'm thinking they might not then have had the discussion summary piece, but that would go to our training team to clarify. But prior to that, if it's not a brand new EN, you know, the EN program contact and signature authority should be, make sure that their team is aware of those requirements as well.
Thank you very much for the question. We're going to continue to update the training materials to align as closely to the TPA detailed requirements, and that will include updating the mandatory training modules. At this point, 60 minutes goes quickly in these sessions, and we need to proceed to the conclusion of today's training session. So I do thank our team. If we could move to the next slide, please. We do have many resources available on this slide. Part one, we have the links to, you know, what is the Ticket to Work program, the debunking the three biggest myths, and informing beneficiaries of the goals of the program being employment, benefits reduction, and self-sufficiency. And of course, the fourth, the Ticket to Work intake tool. And Mary Kay was referring to that along with Glynis posting resource links throughout the session. On part two of resources on the next slide, we have three more resources we always encourage, of course. We have the Choose Work website, where we encourage folks to go to explore success stories and stepping stone stories, and also to examine the second link here, the Find Help tool, where they can, of course, access employment networks, but also benefits counselors and other members of their employment team. And last, we always encourage ticket holders and beneficiaries to reach out to the beneficiary support helpline in order to reach a beneficiary support specialist for a very customized individual discussion. So all these links are also available in chat, and we encourage these resources to be shared broadly. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, today's training session was the first in our EN Essentials series. We do have some other upcoming events, and we don't want to skip over our next All EN call. That's scheduled for August 22nd. It will be from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, August 22nd, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The next EN Essentials Learning events will be on August 23rd, part one of developing and maintaining successful individual work plans. And then on September 20th, we'll go into part two. Some of the questions we had today will certainly be brought up during those sessions, and we look forward to welcoming Mary Kay back to be a detailed part of that training team. Next slide, please. So I do thank you all for joining us today. I'd like to again thank our entire training team, and especially Brittany Boyd and Glynis Moore for developing the EN guide and the content that was allowed to drive this training session today. If you do have feedback, recommendations, or other ideas for future training sessions, please reach out to us through email at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. That link, email address is now available in chat. And with that, we thank you all again for your commitment to supporting ticket holders through the Ticket to Work program and your partnership as employment networks, and wish you a safe and good afternoon. This ends this EN Essentials training program.